It's here and now. Los Angeles is following the lead of New York City and Chicago. L.A. City Council voted unanimously yesterday to allow e-cigarettes in so-called vaping lounges, but to ban them in public places, including restaurants, bars, nightclubs, and parks. E-cig fans say they help people quit real smoking, but public health officials say smoking e-cigarettes may actually lead to tobacco smoking, and it's still taking in nicotine. In a few minutes, we'll speak with Dr. Emily McDonald. She's a researcher at the University of California, San Francisco. She's studying e-cigarette use among young people. But first, let's bring in Brian King. He's a senior advisor to the Office on Smoking and Health at the Centers for Disease Control. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
And Brian, Dr. King, what do we know about the health effects of e-cigarettes?
So based on our current understanding, it appears that e-cigarettes could be less dangerous to individuals than tobacco smoking if they're not used in combination with cigarettes or other combustible tobacco products. But at the current point, we don't really know in the long term if the use of e-cigarettes and their availability on the market is really a promise or a peril. But some of our concerns with regard to health include that e-cigarettes could potentially be harmful if they delay smokers from quitting, if they lead to relapse of smoking among former smokers, and also if they encourage young people to start smoking. And that latter point is really very concerning because some initial data that we have shows that a large proportion of youth are actually using these products, and which could potentially serve as a gateway to regular tobacco use and smoking.
We're going to take that up with Dr. McDonald, but what about the nicotine in these e-cigs, taking them in? And for people who haven't seen them, they do have they light up, you know, on the tip, and there's a vapor that comes out. So what is that?
So most of these e-products all have a similar construct, and so it's administered vaporized or aerosolized nicotine to the user, and it typically includes some flavorings. But the vast majority of these products include exactly what you've said, nicotine. And we know that nicotine has known effects on the human body, and it's not without risk, and particularly among youth. So we know that adverse health effects associated with nicotine is adverse health effects on brain development among adolescents, as well as on fetal development among pregnant women.
Well, but some people have been put off by the fact that somebody may be sitting next to you on an airplane smoking an e-cig. Anecdotally, we've heard that. Or in a restaurant where regular cigarettes are banned. And some people have been put off by that. Just it's an image of smoking. As you said, young people don't know that it's maybe not real smoking. But what does that vapor do to the people around it?
So in terms of the existing literature, there's not a lot of evidence out in terms of what's in this vapor, but we do know that this e-cigarette aerosol or vapor is not just water vapor, and it does contain nicotine as well as other psychoactive substances, as well as some additional toxins. So the concern over secondhand exposure to this vapor is definitely concerning from a public health standpoint, because we don't really know what's in these products, and it's compounded by the fact that the products are not regulated. So there's all different types of brands and varieties, and several studies have found potentially dangerous toxins and other compounds inside both the e-liquid in the products as well as the aerosol that's produced from these products.
Well, and by the way, does this thinking, these new questions that are being raised, does it also apply to hookahs and hookah pens?
So there's really a diversification of the landscape for these e-products. They were first introduced in the U.S. around 2007, and it started with the e-cigarette, but it's kind of transcended in other type of products, most notably e-hookahs or hookah pens, as well as electronic or e-cigars. And it's particularly concerning because it seems there's specific language that youth and other audiences use to describe these products. So it's something we need to consider when we ask questions and surveys and talk about these products, is that it really goes beyond e-cigarettes to include quite a multitude of different electronic nicotine delivery devices.
Right. Dr. Brian King of the CDC, hold there 1 second. Let's bring in Dr. Emily McDonald of the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. McDonald, Dr. King raised the concern that e-cigs are appealing to young people who may never have thought of smoking and may now think that, wow, e-cigs will look cool and won't be smoking. There's no harm with them. Are you seeing that?
Hi. Yes, we absolutely are seeing that in our research. I'm a cultural anthropologist by training. That's my PhD. So one of the things we wanted to do was actually get out there in the real world and see how young adults are using these products. What we're finding is that there's a lot of misconceptions out there. As Dr. King mentioned, a lot of young adults think this is simply harmless water vapor. We've actually heard them say it might even be good for them. Mm. So they're not aware that it does in fact contain toxicants, and perhaps even they're not aware that it contains nicotine. A lot of young adults are experimenting with these for fun. They are drawn to the flavors, which are banned in traditional cigarettes, but available in e-cigarettes, such as gummy bear and cotton candy. And additionally, a lot of young adults are thinking of them as toys for smoking. So kind of these personal technologies in a similar way they might be early adopters of, you know, iPhones or other personal technologies.
Well, when you see they're being drawn to them, they're being drawn to them by advertising. Tobacco companies are allowed to advertise e-cigs on television. We've talked about it. We'll link you to our segment at herenow.org. So there's marketing of this. Jenny McCarthy endorses blue e-cigs. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's exactly the point, is that this kind of marketing, this predatory marketing, has really been limited for traditional cigarettes but is allowed for e-cigarettes. And particularly the claim that it's just harmless water vapor is something that we see in the marketing that's being picked up and talked about as an aspect of that product. And I think one thing that I just want to echo that Dr. King said is that we really are seeing that e-cigarettes are not being used in isolation. They're being used alongside traditional combustible cigarettes, hookah, and other tobacco products. So young adults talk about adding them into their repertoire of tobacco use and actually increasing their nicotine addiction.
Well, I want to bring back Dr. Brian King of the CDC, because we understand the CDC found just that. The majority of young people smoking e-cigs also smoked regular cigarettes. We're talking about a lot of young people. What do you think needs to happen, Dr. King?
So in terms of what needs to happen in terms of next steps, we need a lot more evidence base in terms of ascertaining exactly how and when people are using the products. We have some cross-sectional data, but we really need to know when people are using it and why they're using those products. But in the meantime, we need to be very cautious and preemptive about allowing these products to infiltrate society. And going back to this conversation around marketing, it's very concerning because we're seeing these products marketed in the same manner that cigarettes were several decades
ago. But Dr. King, I just have to ask, what about the people who say e-cigs helped me stop? And if I can't take my e-cig down a street or to a park in L.A., I'm going to reach for a cigarette.
And so a lot of these reports in terms of cessation have been mostly anecdotal, and at the current point there is no conclusive scientific evidence that e-cigarettes are any more beneficial in terms of cessation than proven FDA cessation medications, including the nicotine patch.
Yeah. That's Dr. Brian King, Senior Advisor to the Office on Smoking and Health at the Centers for Disease Control. We also spoke with Dr. Emily McDonald, an anthropologist and researcher at the University of California, San Francisco, both of them troubled by the rising use of e-cigarettes. Thank you both.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
And listeners, weigh in. What do you think? Has an e-cig, despite what you just heard, helped you quit? Or are you concerned about young people smoking or annoyed by somebody smoking an e-cig, you know, in a public place next to you? Cities like New York and now L.A. are banning it. Your thoughts at hereandnow.org. Love to hear from you. This is Here and Now.